Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just glory in that name. We give thanks in that name. We go boldly to the throne of grace in that name. And thank you, Lord. It's in that name that you're here today and you're with us, Lord God. And thank you, Jesus Christ, that Christ liveth in me. Thank you for that assurance, Lord God. Thank you again that it is the seed that remaineth, Lord Jesus. Thank you that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that there is no separation to them that are in Christ Jesus in the love of God. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we again give you all praise for this. We thank you, Lord, for the finished work. We thank you again for your anointing power. And, Lord, because of you and because of your presence, praise be to God, we're anointed. You're here. The anointing is here. It's not on the vessel in a sense. It's in you, dear Jesus. And thank you, God, that you're in us, Lord. And thank you again that we're confident in that, God. And the word of the Lord, the word of your grace, that's our feast this morning. Lord, help us not to doubt it. Help us to be confident, Lord, completely confident. Lord, captivate our thoughts this morning. Anything that we're holding back today, God, let us turn it over to you to lay it on this altar this morning, Lord Jesus, and to know, God, that you have done it, that you have finished it, Lord Jesus, that you in your precious life have lived it for us. Now we thank you for this assurance. And Lord, just again, anoint this time and anoint your word, Lord God, as it goes forth. Open hearts today, Lord Jesus, and let us receive more of the beauty of you. Help us to be encouraged. Lord, stir it up in us. Give us a fervent desire, Lord Jesus, to see your beautiful face. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you'd open your Bibles with me, we're going to Revelation chapter 10 this morning. And I thank the Lord how he's just been encouraging us more, so specifically and mightily, in the precious word of his grace. And see, that's what builds us up, isn't it? We know that in the word of God. We can't psych ourselves up. We can't do anything. That little lump of clay just sits there, praise be to God, his hands up all on it. You need the water on that clay. You need the oil on that clay. And praise be to God, you got the wonderful master's hands on that clay. And let me tell you something, just be clay. Amen. Don't try to be anything else. Hallelujah. The precious sheep, and we thank God that it's all because of his wonderful workmanship. But here in Revelation 10, we're picking up here. John has been taken up into heaven, and he's been given some wonderful visions of right before, obviously, pretty much like right now. The state of the churches and the ones that are asleep, the ones that are awake, the ones that are dead, all of these different things. And the Lord shows him time into the tribulation, time into the millennium. And this is a precious moment where the Lord is encouraging us and he's encouraging John about the Word of God and what the Word of God does as we feast upon it and what it does in our lives as we truly desire to take the word of God from him. Hallelujah. And we'll begin reading here in this 8th verse of the 10th chapter. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And at the beginning of this chapter, it establishes who that angel is that's got his feet on the sea and in the earth, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's got this precious little book in his hand. And it says, John went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. How wonderful. Sweet to the mouth, but bitter to the stomach. Now, this is one of the most precious, incredible little verses in the Word of God. And it is so revealing about how the Word of God is so effective. It's effectual. We understand that. And it works effectually in them that believe or them that feed on the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, in that effectual, it's effective. It's got working power, brothers and sisters, in our lives. And as this Word says, as we take it and as we hear it by the Spirit of the Lord, it's always sweet and always joyous as we, again, taste it and feast upon it. It's honey in our mouth. We love the promises of God. Hallelujah. We love to hear by God's grace again. He that hath an ear, and the Lord had to give it to you. You wouldn't be here this morning without it. And he's given you that ear. But he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And as we feast upon that word, it's always sweet in our mouth. But as it is worked into our lives, as the Word of God is sown deeply into our lives, as we begin to grow in that Word, and as the Word of God begins to grow in us, that's when that bitter thing is not only might transpire, brothers and sisters, that bitterness is going to transpire. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. Praise be to God. He's going to show himself faithful in your life. And there's one way he does it. He does it by himself. And he is the Word of God. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's that feeding that precious life. This is the same Word, praise God, that David called upon here. Go over to Psalm 139. Most of you know this precious verse. But this is the same Word that Brother David called upon as he was being encouraged of the Lord to grow and to take the things of God. And Brother David says in 139 verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Go on with me back over to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll see how Paul was encouraged here, praise be to God, to say it in another way, and how sharp and quick and powerful this searching of the Word of God is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says there, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature, anything created, that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that this is this all-powerful Word, brothers and sisters, and the Word by the power of the Holy Ghost, as we're reading here and as the Lord is encouraging us today, and I believe each time we get together, he's going to show who's sincere. That's what this Word does. It tries us, brothers and sisters. We can talk a good talk. We really can. But when they say the rubber hits the road, are you looking back, where was everybody that was going with me? Huh? Praise be to God, you don't look back, you just look forward and follow him. Follow him, follow him. Brothers and sisters, this is the chastening of the sons. This Word of the Lord here is telling us, I'm going to bring forth and show, and I'm seeking out the true worshipers who worship me in spirit and in truth. Brothers and sisters, we can play around with the Word of God, and we can. But that's why the Word of God tells us, be no more like children. It's time to grow up. It's time to leave behind the childish things, the childish ways, and enjoy and endure the hardness as good soldiers, brothers and sisters. But that is always going to come through the truth. You see, this bitter experience that this Word always brings about, as Brother John is speaking of here, as he tastes the Word and it's sweet to the mouth, but bitter to his stomach, the bitter experience is always the proof, brothers and sisters, of his love in us. Amen? See, when the going get tough, the tough get going. You've heard that expression, huh? When it gets rough, when things get hard, do you flee? Do you run away? Wait, what happened to that lotus land of ease? If you read the Word of God, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If you're after Him to win Him, if you want to reign with Him, you're going to suffer together with Him. It says that if we do not suffer with Him in the Word of God, we will not reign with Him. It's very clear. Praise be to God that we're always His children, but we have been born little lords of all. We have the potential to grow up into Him in all things. We have the potential, every one of the children of God, the full potential to be ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ someday. How much do we want to invest in that? How much of that precious Word of God will we allow to be manifest and to work in our lives? And as this is saying, and it's obviously true, the more of the Word of God that you grow in, the more of the Word of God that you'll feast upon, the more bitterness that's going to be in your stomach, isn't it? It's a fact. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you exactly what the Word of God is telling you. If you're going to suffer with, if you're going to reign with Him, you're going to suffer together with Him. But it's the most joyous of sufferings, brothers and sisters. It's the only way. You can't help but go that way. They were speaking about the well. When you start getting that ministering at the well, and especially of the Holy Ghost, He's going to tell you of all the things. As a matter of fact, He's got all the things of the Master that He has given to the Son, that He is freely and fully going to give to you if you want it. But it's going to be a way. It's going to be a journey. I think about that precious Rebecca as she went with Isaac. I should say went to Isaac. She went with that servant across that desert, across all of that barren land, places where wells were supposed to be, but it seemed so dry. But that camel would continue to take her because it was hooked up to the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. And I still will never be able to keep quiet about the testimony of that precious 24th chapter of Genesis. Everything, if you really think about in that whole story, the longest part of that story should have been the journey across the desert, all of the hardships, all of the trials, all of the suffering, all the sand in my eyes, and how my camel fell down, and how we couldn't find a well, and how we'd get to the next place and we had no food, and all of these things. But all of those verses, and it's a big chapter. Two times over in that chapter, it speaks of almost word for word exactly the proposal. The proposal. How beautiful He is. How beautiful you are to Him. How much He has. Matter of fact, He's got it all, and you're it. And one half of one verse, one half of one little verse, speaks of the journey in that entire chapter. What do you think He wants you meditating on, huh? What do you think He wants you focusing on? Now, He's not going to leave you ignorant of this stuff. You are going to suffer with Him. But it's the joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross. And let me tell you something. It's the joy that's set before you that's going to have you win Him. Amen? It's a joy. It's joy all the way. Praise be to God. I get myself in such a big bunch of trouble right now if I went in to tell you about marriage and all of those things and all the things that come with marriage, but I won't. The beauty is I'm with my love. Amen? And I wouldn't pass it up. I wouldn't change it. I'm with my love. Hallelujah. There's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And even those hardships and those things that are a little bit rough, believe it or not, they even become joyous too. And especially under the hand of God. Because then He shows how mighty He is and how much He is for us. Praise His wonderful name. But see, brothers and sisters, this is the bitter experience is the proof of His love in us. It's the evidence of trusting in God. It's the revelation that, Lord, I really do believe You. Lord, You do know what's best for my life. Are you there? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that the Lord knows what's best for your life? I pray you do. You know why? Because in a lot of ways it doesn't matter anyways, because you're His. And he does know what's best for your life. But the beautiful thing is when you surrender to it and you go with him, hallelujah, and then you fellowship in it. And then you rejoice together, and there's not this murmuring going along, and he's, you know, and you feel like you're being dragged, but it's a skip, and it's a joy, and it's a treasure. Hallelujah. You go into furnaces, just like those Hebrew children, and you're not worrying about where you're at. You're trusting God. There's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, it might not be, in a sense, pleasant for the moment. But we know, see, when you know something, especially when you know the outcome, when you know the ending, oh my goodness, we know the ending, hallelujah. That's it, that's what we're after, praise be to God. He is always faithful to his word. There isn't anything of this word that has not yet come to pass, in a sense, that God has allowed to come to pass. There are still events to come that he has told us of. But let me tell you something, they will come. They will come. And they all have come forth. And they're finding these things. I was thinking about how they were taking pictures of the sea again. And, you know, they found another big structure under the sea of, I believe it was Galilee. How did that get there? Oh, man, it's huge. But how is it so far out in that body of water? And I think it might even be 5,000 BC. And I think it might be here and it might be there. Didn't you realize, you dummies, there was water all over this earth? And I'm not talking about in your billions of years ago. I'm talking about during the time of Noah. You want to talk about true science with me? Here's true science. It's all right here. Matter of fact, God has shown himself even faithful in that. As there's been ones, even in their ignorance, has found that, you know, that word of God is pretty right on the mark. He already told them that the sands of the sea, the stars in heaven were just like the sands of the sea. Did you know that? See, they marvel now how many stars and galaxies there are. Oh, my gosh, do you know how many there are? He said, well, wait a second, I told you that way back here. I didn't need a satellite or a Hubble to tell you that stuff. You ever think of stuff like that? No, really. It's neat that we're taking pictures of it. Don't get me wrong, but could have saved a lot of money. But think about these things, about how God, let me tell you something. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. Know these things. Rejoice in it. And that's your Father. That's your Father. And that's his son that's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let him, praise God, comfort you. Now, I thank God that he does know what's best for our lives. I thank God that, you know what, he knows the need of our lives. He knows when there needs to be an uprising in our life. Did you know that? He knows when you need a little uprising. And he also knows when you need a little downsetting, doesn't he? Amen? He knows how to bring it. You don't need to necessarily pray for any of it and just say, Lord, thy will be done. And I thank God that we can rest in that. And praise God, this is the all-effectual, powerful working of the Word of God that is shown forth, praise the Lord, in our lives. And sometimes, I will have to say this, and I can testify, the greatest of this working and effectual power of the Word of God is when he's put me in the darkest valley. When he puts me in the fiery furnaces. And I'm talking, yes, about whether there have been sicknesses or tragedies, but how about even those little simple ones where the word of God chastens me in my pride? Oh, yes, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about stuff you didn't even realize. I'm going right back there to Psalm 139 with you, just like David, where he said, search me, O Lord. See, David was starting to find out in his life, you know what? He didn't even know who he really was in a lot of ways. Lord, you know me. Nothing's naked to you. A lot of things I'm ignoring, but you know what? There's a lot of things about my life I don't even understand or know. But thank you, just like Peter said, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. I can have complete confidence in you, Lord, that you're going to get this done. You know, you just talk about, like we were mentioning the other day, about accountability this and account. Leave that to the Lord. Really, trust God for that. He'll bring you through. He's a father. Let me tell you something. And you talk about perfect chastening. Oh, he's got plans for you. He's got a vision for you. Matter of fact, he tells you all about this in here. what he sees, praise God, for Christ in you to be. But see, how about when the Word of God chastens us and roots up deep-seated wrongs that maybe I'm still bitter about from those that hurt me? We talk about those things a lot, but it's very true, brothers and sisters, that these are the deep-seated roots of bitterness. Go over with me to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Let's read this. I love thinking about of God, of God, of God. And in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, see, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So when you're in those prayers, be thankful for God. Hallelujah. Thank him. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this is really comforting to us, brothers and sisters. Did you know that we are born of God? Do you know that? We are. We're born of God. Amen. His children, praise be to God, are born of God. So we are of God. And then we just read here about the peace of God that as we pray in Jesus' name, keeps our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. See how simple that is? Preciously, wonderfully, beautifully simple. But I'm going to tell you something, and I wanted to give a little testimony in this. I found out through his faithfulness that sometimes the peace of God is not always the easy way. Did you hear that? Sometimes the peace of God is not always the easy way. Often his peace is not the peace that I was seeking for. Often this peace of his is not the peace that I was necessarily looking for. Huh? Amen. Now we're back to uprising and downsetting. Praise be to God. Sometimes I was thinking of this. It can take years, years. See, Lord, he spoke. Think of this again. We talk about this often. All of those galaxies and solar systems and all, he just spoke that. Pew. And it's still going forth from what he spoke. That's how powerful his word is. Just like those scientists, they look into space and, you know, their law was, everything increases at a decreasing rate. That was just the law of physics. That was it, you know. But then they looked into this incredible universe of ours and they said, well, how can that be that it's increasing at an increasing rate? Well, who spoke it? Who spoke it? How could it not be? The word of God will never end. How could it not be continuing on? Think of that. Isn't that his word? Amen, it's his word. He spoke that. And its increased will never end. What do you think about in the ages to come? The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us. Huh? And he just spoke that. And yet here we have vessels that he's got years into. And I'm not talking about just years of your life. I'm talking before he ever spoke all of that. In ages past, before that, he knew you in his son. Wow. See the things he gives you just as you come up here? I never thought of a lot of what I just said to you ever in my whole life. That's truth. That is absolutely the truth. But that's your God. See, that's my God. And I know the Spirit, praise the Lord, in Jesus' name. He gives us utterance. Because all he's going to do is magnify our Lord. And once that stops, we know where that went. Amen. See? So I thank him for these things. And again, it's all glory and honor to him. But see, brothers and sisters, in thinking of how many years sometimes the sweet word will be working in us to bring forth these things, and oftentimes it's through a heavy trial. I remember sometimes it was even in a sermon. I'd be sitting out in the pew, and it happened more than once, but I'd be saying, amen, amen, amen. And then, you know, the pastor would say something that kind of cut on me. Well, how dare he say that? How did I go from an amen to a how dare he say that, huh? Was it the word of the Lord? Was it the word of the Lord? Now, it might not have been something you wanted to stomach down, but you know what? You went and took the book and tasted it. You went and took that, oh, I'll go. I'll go, I'll go, I'll go. That's why, see, praise the Lord, he only told about one half of one verse of the journey. If he told you too much about that journey, you might not have went. That's why he's got to have you affixed on the joy, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, he knows this stuff. It's a good time, praise God, in the word of God. But see, bitter to the stomach is when the word begins to loosen those roots of bitterness that we didn't even know were still there. I'm talking about the ones we know didn't know are still there. You thought that they were gone, huh? And I'm giving you my own testimony. And I'll give you this testimony, I'm confident again, because his word is still working effectually, powerfully in us. Praise God. And will always. That's the word of his grace. That's that precious grace. The word's the only thing there's ever going to be, and I thank the Lord for this. But see, that bitter root of pride, the bitter root of self, those are the things that can still be lurking in our lives. And all I was thinking as the Lord was encouraging my heart and chastened me with this, I said, oh, I'm so thankful for one moment, Lord, you didn't look at your suffering on that cross. Do you know that? He didn't look at himself. He was just affixed on the joy that was set before him. That's why he endured the cross. Did you know that? It wasn't because, well, I got to do a job. It wasn't that at all. It wasn't, well, my father said I had to do it. No, it was a joy. He did it willingly and joyfully. Praise be to God. He knew that it was honoring his father, but there was a love. And the love of his father, but the greatest love of all was the joy that was set before him. Yes, it pleased the father. It was wonderful. But his true joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you see that joy? That reciprocated joy, that love for one another? Hallelujah. That's the intimacy that the Lord is bringing to us, brothers and sisters. But this is the deep chastening. This is the time, brothers and sisters, of the finished refining. This is the proving. Am I really fully purposed for him? Or is my life about being fully purposed for me? Is it really about the word of his grace and the gospel of his glory? Or when we really get down to it, when the Lord really gets that two-edged sword, was it really about my feelings and my personal passions? Yeah. Now, I'm not getting us here to think about things because, you know what? Let this mind be in you. But we do need to be tender, don't we? And we do want to be sincere to the Lord. And just like David, David didn't take upon himself to figure these things out, did he? He gave it right to the Lord. He said, Lord, search me. Here's the Lord, and here's your searching. And by the grace of God, he's shown us so many times in so many ways, but maybe one of the most beautiful is that you're a precious wineskin. And all he wants that wineskin to do is just to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. More full, more full, more full. And pouring in that new wine all the time. Hallelujah. But see, as that wine is poured in, there's dross. There's like little sediments, impurities that are in that wineskin that are down there. And the way that they would always get those out wasn't by sticking their hand down there and trying to get them out or, you know, trying to sift them this way. They found out that the only way and the best way and the way that would get it all out was by pouring more wine in. That's what David was saying here. Lord, search me. Lord, I need more of the word of God in my life. The word of God will chasten these things. The word of God will make the changes in my life. Do you know that? See, it's the all-powerful Word of God. And then, see, that's not just on the outside coming in. It's on the inside, praise God, because the Word of God lives in you. Do you know that? See, Christ liveth in me. That's the Word of God. It lives there. It's all there. It will respond. It's not you that you need to rely on to respond. It's the Word that lives in you. The Lord gave me that precious revelation in my life when I was about 33 years old. Thank the Lord, I filled with the Holy Ghost when I was about 16 years old. And as I've told you many times, at 17, I know the Lord proposed to me divinely in a parking lot at a place that I shouldn't have been. He threw me right on my knees, and I was just speaking in another tongue and thanking God in it, and hallelujah. I knew He told me at that time as audibly as I could ever hear the Lord in my heart. But I thought everybody heard it at that time. I want you. I want to marry you. But see, there was so much of myself at that time on. It was like, okay, I appreciate that. But it was like, you know, I was a newlywed of a newly engaged or something, you know. I was just trying to do too much. And I was missing the beauty of the courtship. I was getting, you know, I mean, the bride has made herself ready. I understand that. But the readiness of the bride is just understanding how much He loves me. It wasn't trying to, you know, buy plates and dishes and paint houses and all that kind of stuff. He's got all that covered. Matter of fact, He's building the mansion. But that's what was so precious to my heart is, Lord, this is Yours. You're doing this. Praise God. You're finishing this precious work in my life. But see, brothers and sisters, that's never going to happen until we hear Him. Hear Him. Hear Him. Hear Him. It's like, you know, those precious ones like Peter, they found out. You know, they're trying to do a lot of good things, but those good things were not good things because it was missing God's mark. And God's mark is always one thing, and that's His Son. The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it's always in hearing Him, not hearing you. You listen to you, and it's going to be destruction. But if we listen to Him, praise God, if we hear Him, it will be a way of suffering. But it's going to be glory all the way. It can't be anything else. It will be glory all the way. The Word of God says, endure the chastening. The Word of God encourages us, don't satisfy our bellies. Don't come up short because we settled to have our ears tickled. Feast on the strong meat, the Word of God says. Strong meat. Eat it. Eat it. Feast only on that. Savor not only the sweetness in the mouth, but brothers and sisters, as good soldiers, as sons that endure the chastening, savor not only the sweetness to the mouth, but rejoice when the Word is working powerfully in your life, when the bitterness is hitting your stomach. Do you know that? Rejoice in it. Those are the mighty sons of God. Don't flee when it gets hot. Don't flee when the cuts really come. Don't turn. This is the time the Father, He's searching for her, for Him. And she is a chaste virgin to Him. She is the one, He is my first love. I'm not relying on everybody else to go. I'm going. I'm just going. He's the lover of my soul. And in due time, praise be to God, you got a promise. He'll exalt you. And know this, see, and this is your rejoicing. He's going to exalt Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes. It's our reasonable service. Huh? I love how he says that. It's our reasonable service, brethren. If it's the mark for the prize of the high calling of God that we're after. And I believe he sets some hearts aflame in here. I believe that, praise be to God, that name Ephesians, you know, the high water mark of the Word of God, Never forget this. It means fully purposed. Fully purposed. Philippians, praise be to God, never forget this. That means the horses that run. You know, it's horse time right now. I've been watching them horses on TV. Don't get legal on me. I don't need to get my bet in. I got it all on one thing. And it's already come home. It already has. I'm not just as good as there. I'm already there. I'm seated with him in the heavens in Christ right now. My citizenship is in heaven. The only thing that's in the balance right now is how much of a reward of this am I going to take? Isn't that just crazy to think? How much do you want? Honestly, how much do you want? You want all of him? Do you want all of him? Do you really want all of him? Then take him. Take him. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you how you love us. And thank you again. You're chastening and you're pursuing, Lord, and your loving hand. And how the word of your grace, Lord, it does. It builds up this abounding hope in our life, God. Again, not of an if, but when. When I'm going to see you. When you're going to appear. And Lord, is it going to be today? Thank you again for this proposal, Lord God, and this testimony to us of your love, Lord God, and your promises to us. Help us to take it today, Lord Jesus. And we thank you again that it is your word. It's the word of your grace, Lord God, that gives us the faith that, praise the Lord, will cause us to finish with a full joy. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.